Speaking of Reliability, a podcast with good friends talking with you about reliability engineering topics. Let's discuss how to create and improve your reliability program and your career.
Welcome to Speaking of Reliability. This is Carl Carlson.
And Fred Schenkelberg. And thanks so much for joining us. And I should mention, if this is your first time listening to the show, welcome. We really like having extras that, you know, people join us in the conversation. For those that have listened to us for the last couple hundred episodes or so, I hope our shows have been getting better and more engaging as we go along. But let me dive right into it. As Carl and I were just talking about performing a gap assessment as part of a process to create a reliability plan. And in our previous episode, we were talking about the problem that happens sometimes when somebody says, hey, just go write a reliability plan, and it's not connected to a strategy or a vision. And in part of our emphasis, and Carl, you and I go way back on this one, is you need to understand where you're going. You need to understand what you need to do to support achieving those goals, and then write a plan. And so today we wanted to chat a little bit about, and we started talking about the doing the assessment, doing the gap analysis, which is a pivotal part in to inform how to write a plan. Is that a fair summary of what we were just chatting about there, Carl?
Yeah, it is. And let me frame this in a little bit different way. Fred and I have had careers in reliability management, and we went about our careers without really sharing our ideas up until a number of years ago, a few years back.
Yeah, Carl, you were making cars in Detroit, and I'm making printers and desktop calculators with HP. Mm-hmm. So different paths.
Yeah, we also, different paths, and we also went off on our own, both of us, without collaboration, and developed careers on consulting with clients about reliability management. Mm-hmm. And interestingly, this is what's so fascinating to me, interestingly, we came up with a very similar process. And it's kind of like if you ask somebody, how do you ride a bike, then you got to step back. Well, you do this, and then you do this, and you do this. And our steps included the setting the vision for reliability and performing a reliability gap analysis, both of us, before you do the reliability plan. So that's just interesting. We walked the same path. And now let's just think about, muse together, why we do that. What's so important about a gap assessment? Why is it essential to do a gap analysis before you write a reliability plan?
Well, I think it might be illuminative to what happens if you don't do the gap analysis, right? Mm. There's a couple of scenarios that happen if you don't match the plan to what needs the needs of an organization and where you're trying to go. The worst case by far that I see is that you're pressed for time. You got a bazillion different things to go. And the program manager comes in and says, hey, we need a reliability plan for project X tomorrow. Right. And it's similar to project Z that you did last year. So I'm going to pull out project Z. I'm going to change the title and hand it to them. Project done. I can move on with whatever else I'm doing. And what happens is over the time, and I've seen this, is that eventually you're using the same project plan over and over again, and you're not getting any results of any merit or usefulness. And so it becomes a checklist item, and it's paid no due, and it adds no credible value or interest, or nobody reads those reports, and it's just a check step. Another scenario I see is that somebody comes in, and I think, Carl, you tell the story of writing down every single task known to man and concerning reliability, and they're like, we don't have the resources to do that. What are you talking about? The other part is that it doesn't fit within the organization. There's constraints of knowledge and of resources and of a number of prototypes and all those things. And if you create the perfect reliability plan, but nobody's ever heard of half of the techniques and doesn't understand how or why to use them, you've mismatched the plan to what the team is capable of. So I think there's a number of different scenarios there. But yeah, your story of, I don't know, how many tasks did you have in your plan?
Pages of tasks. it was like silly. It's so embarrassing to think about it these years later. But let me just, some ideas come to mind here that, what I enjoy when we're chatting together, oftentimes it stimulates my thinking and to frame things in different ways and actually learn mm-hmm. from the conversation. So, I mean, to me, reliability management is a lifelong learning process. It's not something that you go to school and then you know how to do it and then you just do it year after year. You get better and better at it. And so I'm thinking about this right while we're talking, Fred. And one of the reasons you want to know the gaps, there's two big reasons jump to mind, but and maybe there's more. One of them is each of the tools of reliability have their own selection criteria. So FMEA, HALT, other types of accelerated testing, design margin analysis, you name the tool, design of experiments, whatever the tool is, has selection criteria. So we never want to use a template and go into a new program and just automatically use certain methods. That is not the right way to do it. And that's something that we both have learned separately, and I'm sure a lot of other people have learned, but I still see people do it. Yep. So the selection criteria unique to the tools is one factor. And then the other one that you brought up is the capability of the organization. That is a changing landscape. And so you need to select the tools based on selection criteria that are also appropriate for the capability of the organization as you build the capability. You can't do those things without a gap assessment.
That's right. Yeah, and you know, a concrete example of that is I worked with a medical device company years and years ago, and we did some training and getting just familiarity with a handful of different tools. And for their particular project, they had a question on, well, will this new design, this novel device they were creating, will it last 5 years with a relatively low failure rate? So a classic question that an accelerated life test can help answer, right? And so we set up a life test, but I did the vast majority of the work on setting up and designing the accelerated test, but with the idea of teaching them how to do it by example. And the next project came around and they were refining their product and they wanted to extend the life of the product out a few more years. So they wanted to know, will it last this long and so on. So they said, we know it needs to be an accelerated life test, but we want to make sure that we do it right. So they wrote the plan and listed the assumptions and discussed it with me. The third year, they basically said, we did it in accelerated life test. Here's what we did. Here's our results. And here's our decision.
Oh, yeah.
Right. and some of the tools, they said, we don't need to do that tool. You know, we already have the information we need for that. And other ones, they said, no, this is brand new area. We need to do X, Y, Z to make sure we're good with it. And each year the plan was different. And in large part, it was because of their capability of how and when to use the various tools and what specific questions they were trying to answer changed dramatically as they went through. So it was, as you mentioned, a changing landscape, but it was a very nice one to watch as they got much more proactive in their ability to create a reliable product.
Right, right. Very good. And so if you're going to develop a reliability plan, you need to know where the organization is on that path that you're describing, Fred. It is a changing path, and sometimes it's like climbing a sand hill. You know, here in Michigan, we've got the sand dunes, yeah. And if anybody's done it, you know, you take two steps up and you slide back a step, and so it's never linear. So the organization sometimes loses their champions, and so you have a setback, and then you got to reestablish. So you need to know at the given moment you're going to be implementing the plan, what is the capability at that time, and then you simultaneously build the capability as you implement the selected tools.
That's right. And the other piece that's in this is that the implementation of various tools can take on different degrees of complexity. Design of experiments can, you know, basically start with a hypothesis test, very basic statistics, and helps people make comparisons and decisions and get started with some data analysis, some doing experimentations and analyzing it. But as that culture goes, oh, that was useful, but I need to compare three things now. Oh, okay, well, you need to look at an ANOVA table, you know, or we need optimize something. Oh, well, then let's do a Box Behnken design experiment. But it's a coupling. What I find is that as people get a grasp of the basics of the tools, is they start to ask more nuanced questions, more sophisticated questions, which then lead them to using more sophisticated tools, more powerful tools. So I think it's a virtuous cycle once you get it started. And the gap assessment really helps you find out where you're at each cycle of that virtuous cycle.
Yeah, very good. I think you want to develop a reliability plan that says, what do you do the first year? What do you do the second year? What do you do the third year? And for instance, if you really think that you need to do physics of failure modeling, but your organization does not have that capability, mm-hmm. then you're going to, your first year, there's certain things you need to be doing, and you're not going to implement necessarily that physics of failure modeling that first year. You might have to hire some people and, you know,
get some lab equipment, budgeting for some capital or for some modeling tools.
Modeling tools.
There's a lot of stuff there. Yeah.
And all that comes about from the gap assessment. Let me just comment also on, because this might not be real to, as a listener, you're hearing this. And, you know, so how do you go about the gap assessment?
Yeah, and I had the same question.
Yeah. So what do? I like to start with different topics. So, for instance, there might be a meeting that you have or gathering stakeholders together on reliability testing, for example. Mm-hmm. And so you'll take up the subject of testing. What do you do today? What are your capabilities? What are your gaps? Then you might have another meeting where you take up the subject of supplier reliability. And that's a whole different subject. And so you have different people come in, different stakeholders, and you talk about your suppliers and what their capability is and what the reliability is. Then you might have another meeting that talks about reliability targets or goals or mm-hmm. specifications. And now we're getting into the subject of system modeling and reliability allocation and that type of subjects. So I kind of like to do it by topics, get the stakeholders together, and then look for the gaps as we're doing our discussion.
See, that I find that even having two people in the room slants the conversation to whoever is the dominant person. Mm-hmm. And they might be just more talkative, or they may have a positional power, I just find that I don't learn as much in doing it as a group. Now, Carl, you and I have very different styles. And this is the one part, I think we agree that it needs to be done, but we have a different way of going about doing it. I like the one-on-one interviews with a cross-section of the organization. And it's a lot of asking is, to what extent do you set a reliability goal for your project or for your program? And then what measures do you use? And I know that in your discussions, it's also a lot of the follow-on questions and diving into the details. And it's as much about, well, what do you specifically do, but how do you use that information? Because we're always looking for how well integrated things are and how they reinforce decision-making. I like the one-on-one interviews. I'm way more comfortable with that.
Well, and you know, the quote comes to mind from Thomas Jefferson: "In matters of style, swim with the current; in matters of principle, stand like a rock."
Yeah.
And so those are style topics, and so different people have different styles, and you can go about things differently. But the principles of gap analysis, you have to stand like a rock. In other words, you need to understand what the capabilities are of the organization. You need to understand the different selection criteria for tools. And then so you understand the gaps well enough so you'll be able to go to the next step, which is to be able to select the right reliability tools, which is the third step
right.
that we in our five-step process.
So I remember in our last episode, we were talking about people that wanted to jump straight to write the plan. And here's getting this gap assessment is maybe an example will help. Let's say you're charged with writing the reliability plan, and just intuitively, or because you really like doing halt testing, you say, we're going to do a halt test on, you know, Tuesday of next month. I need two prototypes. We'll go do halt. If you're in an organization that is outsourcing, goes to a local lab and rents some chambers and sends over some prototypes, which is fine. It's far enough away that you can't get your engineers there. So the gap is that you see a barrier in the engineers don't fully understand what you see in the halt lab because they're not there. So the action may be move halt indoors, in-house, you know, get the capital in the longer range plan to get the capital in-house and or get the funding to get the engineers at the chamber so they can, the gap being they don't fully understand all of the details they need to address the issues that are found in halt, which isn't a bad problem to have, but it's quite different than you go to the outside chamber, they run a report, they send it back to you, and the engineers don't even read it. Right?
Yeah, very good.
Right? They say, well, it of course you broke it, you overstressed it. I'm not paying attention to that. And so in that case, the gap is an understanding of what this evaluation is really doing or trying to accomplish. It might be a training or a familiarity with the tool and how to use it versus how to optimize it.
A great, great example. And you really have to have an open mind and be willing to go wherever the path leads you. Mm-hmm. And because the gap is not self-evident at the start. And that's why either the one-on-ones or the stakeholders. You know, I just wanted to mention, since we're right at the time frame for our SOR recording, Fred and I have a chapter 7 called Perform Reliability Gap Assessment. There's no way in a 20-minute SOR, speaking of reliability, that we're going to cover all of it. But we do have on the website the capability for you to see chapter 7 and maybe provide us some feedback. So that's a possibility as well, because there's a lot more to this that we haven't had time to talk about so far today.
That's right. Yeah, I think we have something like 200 people that have signed up to see the chapters as we've got them going out, and we've gotten tons of great comments. We should ping the group and say we were still looking for comments and feedback. It's been a little slower lately, but I think as a listener here, you may have not, maybe you haven't heard of that before. So we welcome you to join us in this adventure we're doing of trying to write down a really useful handbook of how to, at the end of the day, how to write an effective reliability plan. But all these steps that we're talking about in these episodes certainly apply.
So very good summary, Fred. And as a listener, please, we are very interested in your views, your thoughts, your comments. So please
and questions.
Thank you. And so please go to accendoreliability.com/go/SOR. Let us know what you're thinking. Let us know what your questions are. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks, Fred.
All right. Thanks,
Carl. Great conversation.
Great. We'll talk to you again.
Talk to you again.
Thanks for listening to Speaking of Reliability. We invite you to join the conversation if you have a question or a topic that you think we should discuss in a future show. Please let us know. You can find a comment box below the episode show notes, or just leave a note as part of a review on iTunes.